So good morning, and here we are. It's another beautiful spring day, and we're on the heels of yet another mass shooting. In the midst of news of further police brutality, and in this long, uncertain life of the pandemic, today's psalm cries out, "Many are saying, oh, that we might see better times." And so do we all. Over the last few days, I've really been battling through yet another round of just kind of misery about our current situation. So this is really a sermon for me, and you can tune in if you like. It's such a strange mix of what the whole world is experiencing right now. The loss and the anxiety, the anger over the recurrent injustice, the boredom, the kind of guilty pleasure of being at home in your sweatpants more than usual, the lethargy, the attempts to plan in the face of really everything being up in the air, and that strange sense that the whole world is all at the same time in the midst of this same mix of emotions. You look for things to shake it up, things to look forward to, something to put on the calendar, even if it's only the thing you're going to cook for dinner tonight. But at least for me, it always seems to settle back into this dread in the pit of my stomach, this feeling of tears that have been pent up for a long time, irritation, fear of what will happen if the virus resurges yet again, if we reopen the church too soon, if Chauvin is acquitted this week of Floyd's murder. Above all, it settles over and over into this unease at the unknown of it all. The unknown and the vastness of what we don't know. Well, maybe all of us were feeling that this last weekend. Our family, at least three of us, watched the two Frozen movies, which we haven't watched in a long time, fueled by some primal need, I suppose. And then once you watch those, how can you not go around singing, "Let it go, let it go," and then Into the Unknown, those two power ballads, right? I enjoyed Frozen all over again, but I found myself so irritated with Elsa at the beginning of Frozen 2, because everything wrapped up so beautifully in the first movie. Why does she have to go off all restless into the unknown in the second one? Doesn't she realize the value of certainty and the happy ending that the first movie gave us? And then I realized that internal irritation was itself a sign of my own mood, because I am sick of the unknown. I don't want to go off into it anymore. I'm sick of being in it. I want to know how this is all going to turn out, and I want to know now. So maybe that's why I have a little sympathy for that kind of weird gospel reading that we just had today. As we move through Easter season, we hear all these different resurrection appearances, and some of them are more sort of mystical and evocative, and some of them are just a little strange. And this one is sort of this wrap it all up ending that Luke tries to give after all this unsettling account of the resurrection. Think of the total confusion that those disciples were experiencing. And in Luke, this is all the same day. This is all happening on Easter day. In the early morning, the women going to the empty tomb and seeing the angelic messengers there, and then running to get the other disciples who won't believe them. And then later in the day, the two disciples walking to Emmaus, and they have that puzzling encounter with this stranger who then turns out to be Jesus. And then, after those two come rushing back to the whole group of disciples, there Jesus is himself, suddenly standing among them, saying, "Peace be with you." Well, no wonder when he looks around the room, he notices that this little crowd of friends is, quote, startled and terrified. And he says, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your mind?" Well, I would want to say, well, duh, Jesus, what do you think? You know, I mean, the last 48 hours have completely thrown our entire world upside down, and we are totally freaking out. What do you expect that we should feel? So Jesus goes back to the basics. Look at me. Touch me. See my hands and my feet. I'm really here, flesh and bones. Give me something to eat so I can prove it. Let's just start with that, with what you can see and touch and know, because all the rest of this is blowing your mind. I can see that. In all this unknown, let's return to what you can know. One writer pointed out that this year in particular, he noticed how physical this story is. Given our disembodied Zoom existence, the idea that these real bodies are in this room together, and Jesus is there, one of them, resurrected and yet tangible, physical, completely real. This gospel seems at pains to show us that the resurrection is not just a theoretical construct, a spiritual experience, but something real. And further blowing our pandemic minds, these people in this room are eating together. Jesus and those disciples, known to one another in the breaking of bread, and now here he is eating this piece of fish in their presence. We only wish we could share a meal with one another these days. And then, having established reality again, Jesus reminds his disciples of what he had already told them. And he, quote, opens their minds to finally understand the whole thing in a way that they had never seen before. All their questions, it seems, get answered. We only wish we could have that part too. Which reminds me, forgive me, of a scene in another well-beloved film, The Princess Bride. This is my pop culture week. I'm getting it all out in one fell swoop. In The Princess Bride, the hero Wesley has been killed by the evil Prince Humperdinck. But he's been revived by a pill made by Miracle Max and his wife Valerie. He's still limp and he's nearly immobile. He's still kind of mostly dead. But his two friends, Inigo and Fezzik, need Wesley to help them storm the castle and defeat the prince and his henchman, the Count. So they formulate a plan, the three of them, but Wesley says, "Now there may be problems once we're inside." And Inigo replies, "I'll say, how do I find the Count? Once I do, how do I find you again? Once I find you again, how do we escape?" And Fezzik says, "Don't pester him. He's had a hard day." Jesus could be said to have had a hard few days with the crucifixion and the tomb and all of that. And yet here he is turning up for these disciples who are lost in their grief and then further lost in their bewilderment at his appearance. They must have so many questions for him. And Jesus is there ready to answer it all and tie it up with a bow. It's like Luke says, cue the credits. We've got the happy ending at last. Well, we don't get it all tied up with a bow today. There's a lot that is still so unknown for us. Shall we list some of it? Here's what's on my list. We need gun control in this country. And we need some re-knitting of society so that young men stop killing and being killed. We need police reform. We need justice. We need a country where we realize that everyone belongs. We need a sense of the common good and a shared willingness to do what it takes to get past this virus. We need stronger families. We need more love. We need open hearts so that we, each one of us, sees what the other needs and cares for one another. And none of that is going to get tidied up this week, this year, maybe even ever. So yes, Jesus, we are frightened and doubts are arising in our minds. And there are days when that is all we can see as being real. So what would Jesus say to us today if he were here in the midst of us in this Zoom room? How would he speak to us in our fear? Well, he'd probably start with, "Peace be with you," again. And he would look at us and see how scared and all the rest of it we really are. And he might name that aloud for us. "I can see you're feeling all of this." And he would take us back to the basics. "Look and see. My hands and my feet, they are scarred. Let's eat together." And then he'd keep working on opening up our minds and our hearts, because he needs us as witnesses to share that witness with others. That's what Jesus would do, I think, if he were here with us today. And you know, that's exactly what we are, in fact, doing here today. In a few moments, we will share and say to one another, "Peace be with you." And we'll name aloud what is wrong, our fears and our longings. We'll pray together that the powers that oppress and destroy may decline, that justice and peace may be lifted up, that those who are sick may be healed, that those who mourn may be comforted. And we'll eat the bread, even if still only symbolically, together. And we'll talk and we'll share and we'll learn and have our minds opened together. And we'll be sent out as witnesses to be Jesus' hands and feet, to touch the truth of life with all of its scars. We, real physical people, with all of our doubts and fears, we are the body of Christ. Just as we are, God comes among us. And just as we are, God sends us to help redeem the world. It's not the happy ending quite yet. We are called out into the unknown, because for now, that's still where we're at. We just don't get it all yet. But we know that God is with us. We know that Jesus shows us the way for us to live. We know that the Spirit renews us over and over again. We come here to find that, and we go out to bear witness. We have the basics. We have all we need. May God go with us. Amen.